What's up and welcome to the Invincibly Broken Podcast, a weekly talk show hosted by your boys, Orlando and Julian, talking about today's society, their family lives, and anything they damn well please. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show. Hey, brother, what's going on, man? How have you been?
Doing very well. Doing really well, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. What's going on in your life that has you doing very well?
I just spent a couple really good days, you know, spent some time with the family, did a little bit of grilling, cooking, put the little one in the inflatable pool because it's god awful hot here in Texas, but yeah.
Dude, there's something about grilling that is like a mental state of relaxation for all men. You know, like you do have those moments where you get upset because you get flare ups or you might overcook or undercook something like when you're first starting. But once you get grilling down to a science, there is nothing like a manly release of energy.
Oh man.
Than cooking a damn good steak.
And see, that's the thing. I don't do like a lot of like steak and stuff like that. Since being here in Texas, I got into smoking a lot.
Ooh.
So I do
smoke them if you got them. Like, I'm talking about ribs.
Brisket, chicken, all that stuff. So my whole thing is low and slow, baby. Low and slow.
I like that, low and slow.
But I changed over from just regular gas to now charcoal and wood.
Really? So you did the whole flip there? That's good. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's a big step in change, right? When from grilling, right? When you go from propane to wood and charcoal, because that's a whole other level. That's something new. Like that's not even like you think you've got it down when you're cooking propane. But you literally had to almost remaster the grill.
Oh no, yeah, and that's one of the things. Like growing up in Miami and my family's house and all that stuff, my uncle he used charcoal, but you know he would just line it all at the bottom, and you're just sitting there for like 2-3 hours trying to get the charcoal lit, then get the concept of making the little pyramid and getting it just right and all that stuff.
That's an art form, bro. That's
so you're just constantly just cussing and not really enjoying the moment. Dude. But now I got it.
Now you got
it. It's, I like it.
So it's funny that you mentioned that because honestly, that's something that I wanted to kind of talk about today. Not so much just grilling, but the fact that we're talking about change, right? You know, I know it seems kind of stupid to think that's a big change from going from propane to charcoal or wood, but it is a big deal. It's a whole different skill set, right? But I kind of wanted to talk about change, specifically making positive changes in our life, because you know the last several episodes, you know, we have been talking about a lot of issues that make people uncomfortable, right? So we've all been getting comfortable with getting uncomfortable. And by we all, I mean Julian and I, because we're the ones talking about our lives. But hopefully we've inspired some of you listeners out there to talk about these type of things and know that you're not alone and things like that. And we spoke about mental health. We've talked about toxic masculinity. We've talked about a lot of different issues. And I think that sometimes we get stuck on these issues, Julian, and tell me if you agree with me, but I feel like we don't really talk about what to do about the issues, how to change or how to set forth a change. And we always talk about being socially responsible. And I think, you know, a lot of people really like that we're having these conversations because it gives them insight into what other men or people are thinking about or going through with similar situations. But I thought maybe we should talk about change and some positivity and how to make that change. Do you feel that way? Do you,
I definitely feel that way. I know, again, we've talked about a lot of our experiences and specific situations and things like that. But I mean, we've never actually talked about, you know, we've talked about change and we've talked about adjustments and things like that, but we've never actually talked about what those are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, and again, we're not experts, you know, but, you know, be nice to, you know, like, I mean, yeah, you're pretty much my best friend. One of my, you know, my best friends for like the last 20 years, but, and yeah, I talk to you all the time, but you know, I don't know what stuff you're doing to, not necessarily balance, but maybe just to keep that rhythm. Like I said, from the last episode, is everything that's been going on, you know, with the quote unquote new normal, mm-hmm. going back to work, you know, things like that. So, you know, I'd like to have an insight as to what's going on in the life of Orlando. And, you know, hopefully you'd like to know what's going on in the
sometimes.
Life.
Sometimes we'll see if we have time. Yeah. And I think it's good to have these type of conversations because we want to know what stays on right in each other's lives. Cause sometimes I think it's with friends, and I'm not sure if women are like this, but with friends, sometimes we get lost in conversations because men usually talk about manly things. Like we don't really have those emotional conversations. We're asking, did you watch the basketball game? Baseball's back on. Did you see the legs on that one? You know, things like that. And, you know, we really don't ever sit down and talk about positivity. And it's funny because like, this is kind of, if you've ever worked in corporate America, they kind of train you and have these conversations with you while you're at work about making change and change management. But then when you're in your personal life and you're talking to your friends and your family, it becomes an awkward conversation to have. So I thought, you know, we said it, we want to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So to have those conversations, and I want to talk about, you know, yeah, what's going on now, right? Because COVID's changed everybody's life. But at the same time, like other things, right? Things that people think about, like wanting to make their relationships better, or maybe how to stop a bad habit or create a good habit. Maybe somebody just wants to be happier or healthier, or maybe they just need to figure themselves out. You know, a lot of times we all suffer with internal demons that we let them win, right? It's almost like that, like those old cartoons back in the day where you have the angel on one shoulder and you have the devil on the other. And it doesn't, that whole conscious war doesn't always mean about a decision. It could be any battles that you're having internally. You know, maybe I want to go for a jog, and then the two start talking to you. Why do you want to go for a jog? You should sleep in for 5 more minutes. No, get up, do it. You could do it. Nah, fuck that. Have a pancake and a biscuit and call it a day. It's important to have this conversation because I think change is really important. And I know sometimes people are afraid of change, and I like to talk about what's good change and, you know, how to get out of your own head and how to remove all those assholes who don't want you to change. The haters.
Before we dive into one of these, this conversation, which I think is a great conversation, I just want everybody to understand that one of the most constant things in life is change.
Absolutely.
Change is going to come here before, whether you accept it or not. Change is coming. Change is always, it's a fluid thing. Sometimes it hits you when you're not really expecting it, or sometimes you see it coming a mile away and you can adjust to it. Now, how you react or even proact to change is sometimes where we fall into these pitfalls where they're, you know, it's either a positive thing or a negative thing. So, and again, we're not experts, you know, we're deep thinkers, but we don't have any D's at the end of our last names. But from our experiences, what we've gone through, I mean, Orlando just had a birthday. I'm not going to say how old he is, 39. So, you know, he's been on this earth for a while. I've been on this earth for a little bit of a while. And then we've actually...
I still have all my hair, though.
And you can go eat a dick. But we do have a lot of life experience. We actually do have a lot of life experience, both on the successful part and actually on the failure part. And then it's these changes that we've learned from, and these just kind of like... It's one thing having change is another thing having change sideswipe you. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Orlando, let us begin.
Let us begin. So I guess we can really, let's start off with COVID, right? I think it's fresh in everybody's mind. And I think we talked a lot about COVID when we first started this podcast, because this podcast was birthed through COVID. By cesarean, because I have a huge head. You know, we talked a lot about COVID and how our life was changing, but you know, we kind of went in a different direction. But I think it's prevalent now, right? Because we kind of touched on a little bit with when we talked about mental health and anxiety and depression. But what are some of the positive changes that you've seen in your life, Julian, in the last couple few months, 90 days? I think we're going on 4 months now.
I'm glad you asked me that question. So one of the biggest changes that I've noticed, and it's not so much, well, yeah, it's personal, but it's not necessarily dealing with me individually. It's more with my marriage. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that I've mentioned, and if not, give a little bit, you know, on one of the things my wife and I always said that we can never do is have a business together, mm-hmm. where we're seeing each other every day. Because after about the third week or day 10, we're just tired of seeing each other's stupid faces. COVID kind of brought that upon us, where we were looking at each other's stupid faces for a lot longer than 10 days. So one of the things that I definitely, one of the positive changes that I think has come about because of this is that, okay, so this is where we're at. You know, what changes can we make? In the sense of, okay, I'm going to give you, you know, normally we give each other a space when need be, but now we're kind of like, okay, you do your thing, I do my thing. And, but then we come together and do our thing, mm-hmm. like today, like this weekend, you know, I did some grilling, we went in the pool, we enjoyed, have a couple of beers, you know, listen to music, that's our thing. But then we were also better able to define our personal likes. Mm-hmm. Like she watches her novellas, which I can't fucking stand, and I come do this, so it works out.
Yeah, but you know, and a good thing to talk about too is, you know, this podcast, right? I think one of the better things, and I know you and I have talked about this quite a bit extensively privately, and we have talked a little bit about it on air, is this podcast has really helped the both of us out, right? Because we did something that you and I've always wanted to do but never had the opportunity, or maybe we were a little scared to do it. And the lack of knowledge, right? Because we've learned a lot. If you have been listening to this podcast in the beginning, you could obviously see a significant change from episode one to the release of this episode. But, you know, we talk about it a lot. Julie and I talk about it all the time, how this podcast has become a form of therapy for us. And we have really come closer as friends because of the conversations that we have. And a lot of the times we pick a topic of what we want to talk about, but we do some bullet point outlines. We don't do any scripting whatsoever. So 95% of the time whatever we tell each other is a surprise. We have no idea. I have no idea what stories Julian's going to tell me. And sometimes I have a story in my head, and then I switch it up, and then, you know, I go deeper myself personally. I know Julian has too. So, you know, it's been a good form of therapy, you know, since doing this. I don't know about you, Julian, but I feel like we've had a lot of friends that have reached out to us because, one, they applaud our bravery for the topics we talk about, but for starting a podcast. And everybody really has been asking us questions on how to start. And I know there's some haters out there. People always right away we'll get to be like, I don't want to help this person because they consider competition. And I know that we haven't, like, anytime someone has asked us a question about starting a podcast, whether it's about equipment, about topics, about length, you know, anything at all. We have been very supportive, and we've been trying to be a cheerleader for the individuals who've come to us and said they wanted to start a podcast.
One of the things with, I feel that with change comes growth. Mm-hmm. And then you also, with growth, you have to, you know, you can't be selfish about these kind of things, you know? I mean, let's call a spade, you know, Orlando and I, we're not getting paid for doing this. We're doing this because we like doing it. So it's, yeah, there's other podcasts out there, but it's not like we're, cutting into our profit margin by showing somebody or giving some advice. So, and even if it was, you know, with, and from an economical standpoint, we would still do that. But going back before we go way on a tangent, yeah, this is definitely one of those things that came, one of those changes that we came together. And since then, we've had things happen, such as, you know, hey, I went back and, you know, sought mental health and, you know, going through that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this podcast has definitely been a very welcome change in my normal routine, because it allows me to vent my emotions and my thoughts to complete strangers other than Orlando, obviously. But, you know, and it's been actually very therapeutic, and it's actually helped me out a lot. And yes, we've had a lot of positive feedback from it. We've actually had some other people say that because of this, they've actually thought or sought out help themselves, because they felt like, okay, they're not alone. So these are some of the positive changes that have happened due to COVID. But these are some of the changes that have happened in our lives because of it, not necessarily because of COVID, but some of the positive changes in how we've been able to adjust to them.
Absolutely.
And what I mean with the podcast, we've adjusted. We have a schedule. We have our meetings. We have our production meetings and stuff like that. So those are changes for us. You know, we have a normal, you know, day-to-day jobs, but we've made the change as making the time available to produce this podcast on top of, you know, being husbands and fathers and things like that. So it's just another thing that has enriched our lives just a little bit more.
I like that. It has enriched our lives. Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because when we have talked about this podcast and creating it, one of the biggest obstacles that you and I both had to overcome, and the advice that I usually give is overcoming that fear, right? And I think that people don't realize, you know, when change comes, right? Regardless, when you're trying to make a change, let's not even talk about like unwanted change. Let's talk about changes that you're trying to make for yourself as an individual, right? Let's say you want to start working out, you want to start eating healthier, maybe you need to take a career change, you know, maybe it's time to end a relationship with a significant other, any type of thing that involves you yourself. There's a lot of fear involved in making that change, right? Of taking that leap of faith, of not knowing what's going to be behind that door. Are you going to be laughed at and ridiculed and, you know, and be called stupid? Those are the things that people worry about. They never think about the positive that comes with making that change. And what a lot of people don't realize, how smart and brave you are as an individual by opening yourself up to growth, to start an exploration of your life and to get a deeper understanding of yourself. I, for one, have always, growing up, have always wanted to learn more about me. And I know it sounds self-centered to some people, but you really need to be happy with yourself before you can bring happiness to anybody else in your life or anybody that you work with, whether it's personal or professional. You have to be comfortable with yourself and be happy with yourself. And to know oneself, you have to do a lot of exploration. You got to know what you like. Even if it's simple as, do I like to eat sushi or do I prefer pizza, or try a new type of meal, or I like to run, but, or maybe you don't and you like to walk, like little things like that. Like maybe I don't put too much salt on my food. Maybe I like my food plain, whatever the case may be. I know those sounds silly to think of it so small, but some people really get into their heads about making change. But it's very important you weather that storm and you believe in yourself and that you are taking that first step to change is the hardest step, but it's the most relieving one once you start doing what it is that you're looking to do.
And I have to wholeheartedly agree with you. And I'm going to go ahead and bring out my business major on this to give a little bit of a analogy. So thinking less as an individual, let's go with an organization. Mm-hmm. If an organization is not willing to make changes, adjust, move with the times, you know, to stay relevant or whatnot, they might fail as an organization.
Very true.
It's the same way that we got to take a look at it as ourselves. We got to kind of look at it as we are our own business, if you want to look at it that way. And we have to invest in ourselves. And when I mean invest in ourselves, you know, whether you're going to exercise, live a healthier life, maybe pursue that additional education that you've been wanting to.
It could be new clothes. It could be
new clothes, anything, or chase that passion.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of investments in within our personal organization, ourselves as our business, that we have to make in order to, like you said, weather the storm. Because if we stay too anchored, if we stay too rigid and too regimented in our ways.
And comfortable. Absolutely. Comfortable.
That's another killer right there. I love comfort, man. I love my, you know, I want to get a Tempur-Pedic bed, but I have like, I have one of those, what do you call them? The fluffy ones that you squeeze and they come back up.
Pillow top? Foam. Memory foam. Memory foam.
I have one of those mattresses, man. I love that thing. But eventually I want to change it to like an adjustable one so I stop snoring. But those are some of the changes that I have to do. I'm comfortable in my bed, but you know, I know at one point I'm going to have to change it. The same thing. Like me personally, I've been in the same, with the same organization that I've been working with for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm coming up on that forcible retirement from this particular organization, and then I have to move on to something else. So I know the change is coming, so I have to prepare myself for that change. If not, I'm going to get sideswiped, and then I'm going to be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, no, it's true, and you know, it's funny that you mentioned about careers because even myself, right? Like I was in a specific industry for a greater part of my career. I would say about several years ago, I made a switch into a total different career. And I'm not gonna lie, I chased money. They made me an offer. They told me that I could do the job and I got into it. And I was in finance and I did really well. But I never loved it. Like I didn't like it at all. Like I'm not a very conservative person, to say the least. And which I'm pretty sure most of you guys have figured that out by listening to this podcast. But like what you see is what you get. This is how I am as a professional, you know, minus a couple of the curse words here and there. But, you know, I'm the same person. Like I don't change myself. And I found myself having to change in that environment and to be a little very rigid and stuffy. And it's not me whatsoever. Though I did well and I excelled, I never had a passion for anything, especially for advancements, because I don't want to be anywhere where I can't advance myself, in personally and in a career. And that was, first off, it was a big deal for me to jump into a career in an industry I knew nothing about, right? It was a challenge getting in because when I came in as management and I was managing people who had years of experience more than me in that particular industry. And then, you know, then I had to make a name for myself based on, you know, past experiences that, you know, though they still had a lot to do with what I did in finance from my past industry, you know, some people don't see it that way. So I dealt with all the haters and all the people who thought I couldn't do it. And then the hard pill to swallow was having to change my personality to fit a mold that I didn't necessarily agree with. So, and I did it. And then I didn't want to do it anymore. And, you know, changing a job isn't easy, especially when you have a family. I was, you know, at the time I was newly married. I was a new dad. I had baby number two on the way when I decided to go back to my original career. And, you know, it's I think it takes a lot of guts, right? Because, you know, you can jump ship all you want from company to company, but when you're moving industry to industry, it's not an easy thing. It's tough when you're in a situation like that. Like, you knew, like I knew both times before switching and then switching back, I knew I needed a change in my life because I was unhappy. You know, I wasn't giving it my all, making my personal life suffer as well. And because I was unhappy at work. And unfortunately, we spend most of our time working. It starts to bleed into your personal life and your family life. And I had to take that step and go back, even if I ate a little crow, right? Because people were like, oh, you're back? I thought you were so happy at your other place. But you know what? It's all about personal growth, because I was able to take what I learned in those 5 years working in finance and now add it to what I do for a living now. And I mean, just like I've always been, I'm still a fucking rock star.
So you'd enjoy what you were doing prior to doing what you're doing now?
And in finance?
Yeah.
Not really. I wasn't a...
Not even a fifth of a third of it?
Not even a fifth of a third of it at all.
Damn. Okay. That's what happens when you chase that money.
Yeah. That for real. Sometimes it's... You can give... They can give me another 53 offers and I still wouldn't take it.
I got you. Like, even right now, I've had like... offer saying, well, what if we promote you? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. But sometimes you got to realize where you are if you're happy, you know.
And that's the thing. Sometimes the change is, okay, I know that the change is coming, but sometimes I get to a point where I'm like, okay, the change needs to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm ready for it.
Yeah. You know, you could say a lot like, you know, like I'm sure, you know, I know we've talked about your divorce in the past, but at one point in time, you knew that it was time for a change, right? Like, what was the hardest part about making that change?
Being away from my daughter. And that's still the hardest part about it. Besides that.
Yeah, because that's the hardest part.
The hardest part was actually making that decision, and not just making that decision in my head. Mm-hmm. And even in my heart, because I was kind of already at that point where I was feeling it, but making that decision on paper.
Yeah. Because I think about times where I broke it up with like serious girlfriends, right? And like, you're like, you go back and forth a little bit. And did you have that like fear? I'll say it. I don't care. Like I always had like a fear that I might be alone, that I might not find. Maybe this girl is the one for me. Maybe this is who I'm supposed to be with for the rest of my life. And if I leave her, right, and I go and I start dating, maybe I won't get into another serious relationship, or maybe this person, no one will see me for who I really am, or maybe they will see me for who I really am. And maybe I won't be able to be happy again because that was the person I was supposed to be.
Well, I mean, yes. Not so much the way they were saying it, but you know, my biggest fear was being alone. Mm-hmm. It was my first and my second divorce. I felt the same way. And then obviously the way that I know how I am, and you know how I am. Mm-hmm. First of all, how I end up with women, I still don't know. I have such a, you know, lack of confidence when it comes to, like, I'm a confident guy, you know, I'm pretty smart and all that stuff. But when it comes to like that, you know, area of trying to romance or just go up to a random female that I think is attractive or whatever and start a conversation, I can't. So that was one of my biggest fears was like, shit.
And that's a real fear.
I'm gonna be alone.
That's a real fear that men go through. And I don't care who you are. Like, I'm opposite of Julian. Like, when it came to meeting women and I was gonna say women of the opposite sex. Anyway, that was dumb.
Not women of the same sex.
Not women of the same sex, but the opposite
no,
ones.
It's just there.
The opposite ones. But you know, when it came to meeting women, like, I had never been nervous to say hello or to flirt or to make my intentions known. So, but even then, I still had doubts when I was dating or serious relationships with dating. Like if I were to cut it off or, you know, they didn't text me back right away or call me back. Like, you know, I you know, right away it's a downer and I'm like, oh, it's me. What am I going? Like I have self-confidence issues. I think you shouldn't trust anybody who doesn't have any self-doubt in their mind because they're a robot. They're not human beings. So, you know, I know a lot of guys put that facade like, oh, fuck that bitch. I don't need her. I could do better. I can go trade in the Honda for a Cadillac, like whatever the fuck they say. But it happens. We all have those type of thoughts. So let me ask you this, Julian. Did you find it, was it easier the second time? Because I know you've been divorced twice.
So here's the thing. It's never easy. It's never been easy for me. Now, once I was in there, and I don't mean like
physically in, just around.
I have no issues uh-huh. because, and again, this is not to like, you know, pat myself on the back. I know I'm a good dude. I know I'm a good catch. Mm-hmm. The only problem is,
you just got to get on that hook, son.
It's just get on that hook. Exactly. Exactly. And it's literally has to be a hook with a worm on it. I'm like, oh, okay, I think she likes me. That one of those things is getting there. That's the issue. After that, I have no problems. Yeah. But it's getting there. Like I said, you know, like I said one time, like one of our last episodes, thank God that we don't have to fight for, you know, to mate, because if not, man, I'd be fucked.
So
I'd be really, really fucked. But I mean, no, but it truly was a very, and now it wasn't like a crippling fear or anything like that, but it was something that I did think about, you know, that it you know, okay, I'm back here again, mm-hmm. you know, what am I going to do? Nothing, because no. I never do anything, and I'm basically kind of seeing, all right, let's see what happens. Hopefully I'll get enough beer in me or enough liquor in me so I can talk to a woman, but you know, and that's just kind of the way it ends up with me. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you,
the slow game works, I guess.
Real slow.
Super slow.
Like sloth slow. So let me ask you this. So have you, aside of this podcast, because we've talked about the podcast already, anything that you have done in the last few months or you're working on now, like a change that you've done for yourself?
Yes.
What is it?
I'm working on doing stand-up.
Interesting. I did know this, and I'm glad you're kind of talking about that. So first off, why stand-up?
I love stand-up. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan for stand-up for many years, mm-hmm. decades even. I actually did have a little bit of a, you know, I did a couple of shows and stuff like that. You know, both at my job, they had me do stand-up shows, mm-hmm. but I also did like some open mics and mm-hmm. things like that. But it just, because of career, mm-hmm. it never went anywhere. Yeah. And then the opportunity kind of presented itself.
Nice.
Because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, where I can do like these same open mics virtually. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been writing. I've already done two of them. Mm-hmm. And
which are good, which are really good, because I supported you and I joined that live link. And when he says stand up, he means stand up comedy. Just in case we have listeners who are oblivious to what stand up is.
Yes, because I went on YouTube and I just stood up.
Dun, dun, I really hope that you don't put that in your bit. But no. Anyway, so
maybe my ball's shriveling up.
So let's talk about that. So why is that a big change for you?
That's other than the fact that it's been 20 plus years mm-hmm. that I've done something like that, it's something that I like. I'm passionate about. My wife supports it, though she doesn't understand it. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, you know, her jokes are very Hispanic. Mm-hmm. You just tell the one-liner, punchline, mm-hmm. ha ha ha, move on. She still doesn't find the funny in having a storyline. But anyway, and it's just something that I always wanted to do for a few years. I've been kind of wanting to get back into that, and with absolutely no expectations, just to do it.
Yeah,
I do a lot of public speaking. So as far as standing in front of and talking before a crowd, I don't have problems with. So it just feels now like it's something natural that, you know, I just try and make them laugh.
And that's awesome, because a lot of people don't realize that stand-up comedy is an art form, right? There's a lot of work that goes into stand-up. Like, just because you could talk in large crowds doesn't mean that you can be funny or capture that crowd's attention for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Let's do this, Julian. So let's just say that we have listeners out there, you have friends out there that maybe they want to do stand-up comedy, but like many people, they have a healthy fear of going to an open mic night. What are some of the steps they can do to get comfortable to make that change? Like a goal setting or whatever. Talk us through that.
One of the things, and a really good friend of mine, friend of ours, mm-hmm. kind of talk, writing, mm-hmm. just write and just put your thoughts down on paper. Definitely bounce it off somebody else. And, you know, the thing about an open mic, and a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people understand the purpose of an open mic. An open mic is where comics go to try out their material.
Mm-hmm. Like a rough draft.
It's like a rough draft. It's like a dry run. Mm-hmm. And in an open mic, they can do their little set and then, okay, this joke was good. This one needs to go by the wayside. And, you know, and then just, you know, perfect the craft or just smooth out their set mm-hmm. to when they're in front of a larger group or whatnot. So that's what an open mic. Public speaking, just in general, is an issue. I would encourage get in front of a group and just start talking.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be funny. You could just...
Do you know what I used to tell people to do? One of my biggest advices for public speaking was...
Imagine that everybody's naked.
No, please don't do that, man. Please don't, because then you start seeing titties on the ground and old men's sack, and it's just not pretty. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. If you have a wild imagination, stab it in the back before you get on stage. But I think talking in front of a mirror helps. It helped me, and I gave that advice to a lot of people. Like, figure out your presentation or your set and do it in front of a mirror and pay attention to your body language. Pay attention to the faces you make. Do you squint a lot? Do you, you know,
ums, ahs,
not even that, but like lights. You can get, I personally feel that you can hide a lot of your verbal discrepancies, your verbal crutches. That's a good one. Your verbal crutches by body language. Cause if you feel confident, and if you're talking with passion and you're knowledgeable about the topic you are, people won't really notice when you say or like, because I didn't know how much I said and like till I started doing this fucking podcast and having to edit out 99% of ums, likes, and so's, so much so that we probably knock off about 15 minutes off each episode because of them. But, you know, when you look at it, like, confidence is a big thing, I think, for public speaking. Now, how do you mentally prepare yourself? Like, what advice would you give somebody? How would you mentally prepare yourself for the booing or not people laughing? Because, you know, open mic night, you're going to get people going to heckle you if you're bad.
It's going to get silent.
It's going to get quiet.
It'll get silent.
Yeah.
At the best, it'll be silent. At the worst,
you'll get heckled. Yeah.
That's a hard one because I've actually never been in that situation. But as far as like the silent, just the only other thing is just like one of my favorite comedians, which is Jim Norton, always says, if you bomb, just know that I have the next joke option. Just kind of like, okay, and then move on to the next one. The best way that I rehearse. I mean, just rehearse it, you know, try to make it as seamless as possible. If you don't, if it gets a zero mm-hmm. to the point where it might be actually seen as a serious statement, just keep going. And again, that's the whole part about that. That's the whole thing about an open mic. Yeah. You do it. Did this one work? Absolutely not. Then you just strike it from the record and either adjust it, try something else with it, or just be like, all right, this one, gets put in the box along with your mom's titties and all this other stuff and gets thrown in the ocean.
The word flaccid. All flaccid in the box. Yeah. And
we'll see how many people understand that reference. and then just move on. Now, I do want to caution that if like public speaking is an issue, might not want to jump into stand-up comedy right away.
But you never know. Some people might find that they might use that their comedy as a shield, right? You're an introvert, right? I mean, yeah, you do better at public speaking because your career has helped you and has developed those skills for you to be better at public speaking. But sometimes people use that comedy as like a shield, right? They do it like for everything.
But the other thing is just like, I think you and I are the same way. In this case, I'm a funny in a dark place kind of person.
Yes.
Like when something serious, mm-hmm. something sad, something tragic happens, I'm going to try and find the joke in it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I'm the same. I'm exactly the same way. Like I'm that guy laughing at the at dark stuff just because it makes me feel better. Because I laughed, yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes to that, you know, you could always find, like, one of the example. Last week, I did one part of my bit of my set, and I got nothing. And my answer was like, just like at home. And then everybody else started laughing. and then I moved on. You know, I had the next joke option, and I moved on.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy about it. I'm super excited. I'm hoping once all of this that I can actually get, even if it's in front of 10 people, and I can do an actual open mic and stuff like that. So, what about you?
What
are you gonna guess? I know you're funny, and I know I've been talking to you. I've been goading you about this. Are you gonna take the plunge?
I might. I think I'm going to, but I'm gonna have to prepare a little bit because honestly, I'm not a writer. By any stretch of the means.
This I know.
Grammatically, I'm a nightmare. I could probably do a stand-up bit on my grammar. And I think a lot of my friends and family would probably appreciate that.
Spell check is not your friend.
No, honestly, Siri's like, dude, what the fuck are you trying to tell me right now? Because I can't correct this spelling. But I want to try it. I want to try it. I think it'd be interesting for sure.
But now, moving back to changes and all this stuff, you know, we've talked about ever since. And we don't even have to talk about COVID. We don't have to talk about all this stuff. Now, we already talked about the podcast. Obviously, that's been a change for the both of us. And it's done stuff like you do all the audio editing. I've moved on to the video editing, you know, hashtag coming soon. Mm-hmm. So we've had those changes in our normal routines. But I mean, what else? I mean, are you a workout guy? Are you a...
It's funny that you mentioned that. No, not for a while have I been a workout guy, but I will tell you that recently I have changed my mindset that I need to focus on being healthier, right? That I needed a significant change in health. And no one get worried. It's not because I went to the doctor and anything like that. Like I'm fit as a fiddle. I'm very healthy actually. But you know, I just had a birthday come up. I just turned 39 years old. I'm not getting any younger. Anyway, I took a nap and went to bed early. But anyway, so you know,
it hurt when I woke up.
So you know, I've been wanting to make a change for a while when it's come to my health, and honestly, it's been hard for a couple of reasons. Right. So we've talked about the fact that I had cancer and I'm in remission. I had thyroid cancer and I no longer have a thyroid. It was completely removed from me and I have to supplement my thyroid using medication. And it's a pain in the ass. It really affects my metabolism. It really affects a lot of stuff. But as far as my metabolism and my body is really affecting me because I fluctuate weight a lot and that fluctuation doesn't seem to go down. It just either stays steady up back to that steady mark again. So something I really struggle with, I literally have to work five times as hard. I feel like to get results where I was an athlete, most of my life. And I just, I knew I needed a change. I knew I needed a better lifestyle, eating and stuff like that.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were an athlete. Like, what did you do? Why were you involved? Now, don't say baseball, because I've seen some of these baseball players, and those guys are... I know you play lacrosse, so I'll give you that one. But if you tell me I was an athlete because I played baseball, I'm going to be like, go fuck yourself, because I've seen some of those guys.
You kiss my ass. I was a baseball player, and I was in good shape.
Wow, a Puerto Rican baseball player. Oh, my God.
From New York. But
I know you played lacrosse.
I did.
That's a sport.
Yeah. Baseball's a sport, Julian.
No. What I'm saying is
I get
lacrosse
you.
Is a movement sport.
Yeah, so I played.
You know, like I played soccer. Most people don't like soccer, but you know, you're going up and down that fucking field.
So I played baseball and I played lacrosse. And I always enjoy playing sports. Now, one of the things I've always hated to do is the gym. Never been a big gym fan. And, you know, I always did the workouts because it was required to me to go to the weight room, but I wasn't a big weight room person. To be honest with you, the gym actually makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, I never been one to sit there and bench press and like stare at myself in a mirror while I'm looking at my gains and, you know, while hearing people grunt. Like, it just was never my thing. I've always been a person like, I like playing team sports. I run around, chase, throw the ball. I can do that for hours, you know, like that. I don't get tired, and those are great exercises, but I know you need to do more. So anytime I've ever worked out, it was always traditional means of working out, going to the gym, you know, doing stuff like that, getting into a workout routine, but I just never had a passion around it. So I do it for a few months and then stop.
Now, in your defense, I'm there with you. I have a gym, but it's my home gym, mm-hmm. and I use it. But I do not like going to the gym because, one, just like you said, you got the guys that you look at them, you're like, why are you here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really, you're done.
Yeah.
Go home.
Move rock, put rock down. Move rock, put rock down.
I pick it up, I put it down one time. But then, you know, sometimes you go and you're going to use the whatever they're using, and then they never wipe down, and you're like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm not using that. So yeah, I got you. I understand. Yeah. But anyway, continue on.
No, so, you know, I wanted to focus on eating, and, you know, we have focused on eating better, but I wanted to do more because obviously you need more. A good diet's a good place to start, but you need to do more. So I invested into a Peloton bike. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I was really nervous because this is not a inexpensive device by any stretch of the means. It's a lot
of... Wait, hold on a second. Did you say it's not inexpensive?
I said it's not inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
It's not inexpensive.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like,
No, there was a lot of pennies, son. There was a lot of pennies involved in that.
No, I know. Yeah. My brother has one.
Yeah, and, you know...
But his wife's a doctor, so...
Yeah, it was definitely something that I was apprehensive about because investing that much money into a piece of equipment than to make a monthly commitment to pay the membership fee so you can continue using it. You know, right away in my head, I was probably like everybody else, like, oh, that's so stupid. Just go to the gym, do this, buy a bicycle, whatever. And, you know, I did a lot of research and I looked into it and I really liked what I had to hear about the community and the social presence of it all and the interaction and how they interact and stuff like that. So I really said, well, you know what? What's the worst that could happen? I could return it. Right. And I got to tell you, man, I got it. It came home. It's been about 14 days now and I love it. Like, honestly, I'm borderline obsessed with it. So much so that I'm willing to say it on air so I can hold myself accountable to all of my listeners so I can keep doing it. Because it's a lot of fun, and I have a good time with it.
I gotta look into that then. So I'm a little bit of my background, and as far as like all my injuries, mm-hmm. and you know the fact that I'm fucking falling apart. so I know that biking, like I do a lot of walking. I can't do jog. I can't do running.
I can.
I got like a good 10-second sprint in me, mm-hmm. and then after that, I have to put my legs up, put ice on my knees, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I know that biking is a good low impact,
mm-hmm.
Alternative, But now I've gone to the gym and I've gone on the bikes and all that stuff. I mean, obviously it's probably not a $2,700 piece of equipment, but you know, I've still had like pain in my knees and stuff like that. So well, talk to me about somebody who I have back issues. I have knee issues. I have a metal rod in my leg.
Well, I guess I could use that cliche saying that everybody says, no pain, no gain, right? Any type of workout that you're going to do, you're going to have those, especially for us who we're creeping into those middle-aged years and stuff like that. Things don't work like they used to. You know, you can't get out of bed without going, Oh, I didn't know that could hurt. But, you know, the reason why so far I like it is that it's just a lot more than just a bike, right? The cycling is obviously the centerpiece of it, of the workouts, but you have a community, right? When you're riding, you could ride live with an instructor and then there's people riding with you. So you give each other interactions through high fives on the monitor, which is really cool. So when there's a tough part of a workout and people start like giving you these high fives that you can do it and push forward, it kind of is like you, like if you and me were racing each other and I'm like, nah, you're not going to beat me. You know what I mean? It's very encouraging. So the community is a really big deal because, you know, you can interact in a lot of other different ways. And then it's also, you have access to all these other different type of workouts. And it's not like aerobic workouts. It's, you have strength training, you have HIIT interval training, you have stretching, yoga, boot camps, meditation. You know, I love meditation. And honestly, they've opened me up to a ton of different meditation techniques that I've never had an opportunity to use. I've learned a lot of breathing techniques to do before bed to relax your body, which is awesome. So it's been really good. And you know, and I think it's important to point out too, right, that you know, when people want to do something like, and you could chime in on this, right? When you are trying to do good in your life, right? Something, maybe you're doing something like working out that, or doing stand-up comedy that you get, that you took that step, you felt brave enough to make the leap of faith and to try it. And, but you know, you have those haters that your friend, those haters that are your friends or those Debbie Downers, they could be friends, they could be family.
Yeah, no. And I'll actually take it one step forward. So one of the things, you know, I do socially here now, not like I was before. Like if I'm having a beer, I'll have a cigarette or two. Okay. But as far as like me smoking every day, I don't. And one of the things, as I said, I wanted to quit smoking. And the reason I quit smoking is because it was for me.
Yeah.
And because for anybody else, I got to that point in my life where I said, you know what? This is it. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Was it hard? Yeah. Did I chew a shit ton of gum? Absolutely. But I made that change myself because I was ready to make that change. Because that's another thing. A lot of and this is a distinction that we got to make, that we have to make, is that sometimes we have to make changes in our lives, and we know we have to make these changes, but are we ready to commit ourselves to make these changes?
Absolutely.
Because the other part of that, about it, is just like you said, working out, a diet, or you know, healthier life. If you are not ready, committed to make these changes, you can potentially set yourself up for, you know, to be for disappointment.
Absolutely.
Because you'll do it for a week, you'll do it for 2 weeks, and then after that, you'll be like, "I'm fuck this" or whatever, because you were not prepared.
You have to set yourself a goal, right? Like you exactly. and your goal, I think a lot of the times people think
you have to set realistic goals.
Yeah, they think
you have to set realistic goals. So especially one of the things that I found when it comes to like fitness, a lot of people say, okay, so where are we now? We just started August. Mm-hmm. Let's say, okay, so today is August. By December, I'm gonna be ripped and exactly. shredded. Well, that's the wrong way.
They
to think.
Try to use say, the power of foresight now, to get the gains and motivation
instead,
that they want.
Instead of saying, okay, today is August 2nd. 2 weeks from now, I plan to be 1% body fat less than what I was.
Yeah.
Or
even commit to doing increments. It. Or even commit to doing it.
Or even commit to doing it.
My goal is to do a ride every single day for 30 days, regardless of my output, to finish a ride, start to finish every day for 30 days.
And that's how we got to start. We got to set those small little goals, because again, sometimes we're like, okay, I'm going to do this. Same thing. Okay. And I don't mean to pat ourselves on the back or anything. When we set out to do this podcast, mm-hmm. you know, do we have podcast, you know, heroes? Yeah, absolutely. Joe Rogan, who's broke off by Spotify.
We don't got that dude on speed dial that we could call him and be like, bro, can you help us? Exactly. Can you help me out?
So we have to be realistic. We're doing it one episode at a time. One episode at a time. And even making career changes is the same thing. You can't just, okay, I'm going to make this career change like right now and everything's going to be great. I'm going to get up. No, you have to. It's incremental.
You have to set proper goals for yourself, regardless of whether you're taking a leap into a healthier lifestyle, right? So even if it's like a diet, right? Eat healthy for 7 days and then figure out what happens after the eighth day. It's okay to set micro goals. You should always have long-term goals. You should always have short-term goals, but you should really focus on micro goals, getting through the day by day, regardless of whether you need to do a task list, write it on paper, keep it on your phone. But you should always set these little micro goals. That way you feel accomplished, because the human mind, like, we like to feel accomplished, like get things done, right? It feels, when you get to check something off, you're like, I did it, right? And it's not only that,
we got to celebrate those little goals. Accomplishments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not talking about go have a beer and, you know, but you know, like, hey, cool. Like one of the biggest ones that I have to say is, for me personally, you know, we talked about earlier education, mm-hmm. you know, it's taking me all this time. And there was a time that I was like, you know, I got so frustrated. I said, I want to get this education thing over and done with. So I went to a college. I was taking 3 classes at a time. Next thing I know, I got overwhelmed. I ended up failing a class twice and I was academically suspended from that school. So I had to go back to another mm-hmm. one. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go 1 class at a time. And even though the time frame that is taking me to do this, to complete my education, but I've actually been able to complete more classes, you know, in the grand scheme of things, than when I tried doing multiple classes because I ended up failing.
Absolutely. And
so I celebrate every time I'm finished. I'm like, one more to go. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really literally one more to go.
Yeah. And that's a good point. And then even more, I mean, like, that's something difficult. Like, you, for you to be like, yeah, you know, I failed the class twice, like, to admit that and then have the courage and the balls to do it again, because that's your money, right? Like, you're spending money on these classes. It's not cheap. And I think some colleges even charge you more for the third or fourth time around versus doing it over, right? So you don't pay in-state tuition anymore. You pay out-of-state tuition. So it's good, but you use that as a catalyst to push forward. Like, I'm not going to fail the next time. And what the point I was trying to make before is that you really got to surround yourself with positivity too. Like, you, when you prepare to make change, you have to prepare everybody in your circle for change, right? Whether it's your wife, your children, you know, your mom, dad, your brothers, your friends, everybody. You have to prepare them. You know why? You might think that you don't, but they need to know that you're trying to do something to better yourself, because you might need 20 minutes to an hour to do whatever that task is. It could be life altering for you. So if it's life altering for you, it could, those ripples in the pond will touch other people in your lives, you know, like quitting smoking cigarettes. You start going through withdrawals, you're going to be an asshole. And if nobody knows why you're being an asshole because you didn't tell them that you were making this life change, you know, the repercussions can be damaging, right? They can just be an asshole back to you. And then it causes you to get super upset, stressed. And then what do? You pick up that pack of cigarettes again, right? It's the same thing if you're trying to be, that's, you know, I'm not an expert, but I would assume when you're going through any type of addiction, whether it's smoking, drinking, you know, gambling, whatever the case may be, you have to support yourself. You have to be around a strong support system. It's no different when you're trying to make a change for yourself, whether you're trying to eat healthier, right? So if you're married, you know, your wife or your husband will support you by eating healthy with you or cooking for you. Or if you're working out, they'll work out with you. Well, the eating part, Julian made a face. So while you're eating healthy, they're hiding the Twinkie that they're eating. So that way you don't see it, to let you still let you smell their breath, the Twinkie breath after, to be like, here, baby, this is what you're missing out on. But, you know, it's very important to set yourself up for success. And I think we all have that friend or family member. And I know all of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Let's take the stand-up comedy thing, for example, right? Like, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I'm sure that if you told this, there's got to be somebody in your life that if you're like, yeah, you know, what have you been up to? Oh, you know, just I started doing stand up comedy again. They're like, why? You're not that funny.
My wife.
So that's so funny, but I'm sure she supports you now. But maybe I don't know. Tell her to go make you a sandwich. No, anyway, so, but
she allows me the time to do
this. So,
but she'll look at me, she's like, you're not that funny.
So you have somebody in your life that will say why, right? I just started a gym membership. Why? Or I bought a Peloton bike. Bro, why the fuck did you spend $2,700 for? That's so stupid. Like, you can go buy a bicycle at Walmart for $168 and ride around your block. Like, they'll come up with excuses for you. You know, I'm not happy with my job. I'm going to apply for this. Why? That's dumb. That's stupid. So I will tell you this. If you have anybody in your life, whether it's family or a friend, that when you are trying to do something positive in your life, and they question you, they probably shouldn't be involved in your life to begin with, because you need to have a support behind anything that you want to do.
And not only that, I'm going to go one further on your example. These are the same people that later are going to come to you and complain about their situation.
Absolutely.
And then when you tell them, hey, you should try and do this, they're so comfortable where they're at right now, they're afraid to make that change.
Absolutely.
So at that point, you're like, you know what? If you're not going to do anything to change your situation, then don't fucking complain.
And those are the people that will talk shit behind your back, right? Because you start to post your success, or you post that you're going to do something, like Julian.
The naysayers.
Like the naysayers. Like you very publicly went out and you posted on social media that the link that you were going to do your stand-up routine on, right? You put it on IG. You put it on Facebook. You tweeted that sucker, and you know, you put yourself out there publicly. And then I shared your shit. You had other friends that shared that link. So you put yourself out there, and you know that those haters are out there being like, oh, well, you know, they'll say something like, it was garbage anyway. Like, why does he do that? And they probably didn't even listen to your set. And that's the sad part, because you could talk shit and give corrective criticism, but at least listen to it, right? It's no different than our podcast too, right? We put ourselves out there a lot. You know, I mean, I know there's got to be at least one or two people on my social media feed that are tired of hearing my voice on sound clips on IG Live or Facebook or whatever the case may be. But guess what? I ain't going anywhere, kids. We are here to stay. I don't care. We're going to make this. This is a passion piece. This is something that we love to do, and we get hyped up every single day to do it. Like hype. Like we are going to conquer the world type hype. Like we get so excited about this. And honestly, if you don't like our podcast, go fuck yourself. Go listen to another podcast. You know, we will find listeners someplace. You know what I'm saying? And that's our mindset. Like we know that this is going to work. We have embodied this, and we have envisioned success. We're vested. Yeah, it's do or die at this point, we're right? Vested. I mean, we bought hats. So we got to succeed. But you know, like, we have vision.
But we have vision. But that's the thing. We have a vision. We support each other. You know, we've had support from our, you know, from my immediate family. You know, your wife is very supportive. My wife is very supportive, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, yes, I'm sure there's a naysayer out there. Do I really
care?
You
know, but
really.
You can't say that, right? Because we do care. Because we do talk about it, right? So we got to show the humanity, right? The human part of it. Because we've gotten feedback before, right? Nothing tasteless, but we've gotten feedback about some of our episodes or maybe choice words that we've used or length of a podcast or something like that. And we've actually had like 30-minute conversations over one person's feedback.
Now, one thing is feedback that somebody's saying, but I mean, what I'm saying is somebody's saying, I don't know why you guys are doing this. You know, like that negative.
But some people will misconstrue that. You know what I mean? Like you really have to figure out.
And that's where that conversation has to,
My mom is a good example of this, right? Because my mom, you know, she knows what a podcast is and she listens to her own podcast and she listened to one of our earlier episodes and she's like, she literally said, I really don't understand you guys' humor, but all I can tell you is that you guys curse a lot, right? And honestly, that was one thing that after re-listening and listening to other people's product, we cursed a lot. You know, we are educated men. We're pretty smart guys. So we chilled out on the cursing some. And she's listened to later episodes and she's like, I still don't understand your humor and why you joke around about a serious topic, but it's gotten better. And, you know, she could have easily, as my mom, been like, look, your shit sucks. You should quit. And that's my mom, right? So you're going to take that. You're going to take it to heart. You're gonna be like, damn, maybe I should quit. You don't tell the Puerto Rican mom, no. Right. So it's something that you have to surround yourself, because there's always going to be the haters out there that want to see you fail because they can't accomplish anything themselves. And these are people that you call your friends. I promise you.
See, here's the thing. My issue is that if you tried something and you failed, you tried it. The ones that get to me are the ones that just stood there and they
just talk about crap.
And they have not tried and haven't tried and never do it. But then they criticize that you're doing it. So, I mean, that does, I have time for it because you're always going
to
have trolls.
You got to set up that positive foundation, right? You need to reprogram your thought. You got to set up that positive foundation. You got to talk yourself up, right? As an individual, when you try to do these changes in your life because you're wanting to improve. And I also found, I don't know about you, but I also found that if I'm trying to make positive changes in my life, that I have to give that vibe back to other people. You know what I mean? Like I always make it a point. Like if I see someone doing something now on social media, whether they're trying to start a business or they're doing a blog or whatever, even if it's something that doesn't interest me, especially now, you know, I have a lot of friends out there that are doing this. And, you know, I have a good friend who started a blog. It's a book bath blog, right? And it's about reading a good book while taking, you know, a bath. But it's very creative. It's like if you're into all those bath salts or bubble baths, all those relaxing baths, and you know, that's her way of relaxing is by reading and taking baths and her method of decompression, and she's turned it into content. You know, I personally, I hate baths. I can't sit in a bathtub. I don't like it at all. But, you know, but I know a lot of people that love that. And I, you know, shout out to you if that's a good way for you to relax and get your mind off of it. But I do love to read, right? So, you know, but my point is that it's a very niche idea that they're doing that and it's working for her. You know, with this, I go out and I try to find these new blogs and podcasts, and I try to fit people through that. You know, it's no different than being in sales my entire life. Like, you know, maybe I'm not the person for you to buy something, but I might know somebody, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to refer that business out. What do you think? So what do you think are other things that you can do to help shape positive change? Like, what are some little things? Something you don't have to go into too crazy detail, but like, what are some of the things that you think that people can do?
Okay, so one way that you could really impact, and this is actually something that I learned in my time in the military, but it's very small, but it's definitely one of those things that can, if you do it every day, make your bed.
Make your bed. I've heard that a lot, especially from people in the military.
Make your bed. Because I know sometimes I run out of the house and I don't make my bed. But when you start off your day doing that one simple thing, as simple as it is mm-hmm. making your bed, you already started the day by accomplishing something.
And it's kind of like what we talked about, like completing a task, right? Like it's human nature to feel.
Exactly. So you just, and then what is it that they say? It takes something
22 days, 21 days, but I always give people an extra day.
So, okay. So let's go with yours. Mm-hmm. Let's go 22 days. So after 22 days, you have created a new positive habit, which is.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I like.
And then you have had 22 days, which you have started your mm-hmm. day in a positive way by accomplishing absolutely. A task. As simple as it is.
And I think another really good one, I think, and we could end it on this note, as far as when you're trying to make change, stop comparing yourself to other people. That is the worst possible thing you can do. Like, don't get me wrong, man. We all have mentors and role models that we look up to and we want to emulate some kind of way, right? You know, whether it's a famous sports player, an actress, an influencer online, you know, or maybe it could be your friend or your parents or whatever. But to compare yourself is to that person and then to put yourself down when you don't meet those type of expectations, it can really be damaging for what you're trying to accomplish for yourself and even for your mental state.
No. And yeah, I mean, compare when you're talking about comparison. You know what? Compare prices. Make that educated decision before you buy something and compare. Yeah. Okay. But don't compare yourself to something else. And what we're and I'm talking about it just in general. Don't compare yourself to, let's say you're going into a new relationship. Do not compare absolutely. Your current relationship yep. to your previous relationship. Or don't compare yourself to your now, you know, significant other's previous relationship. Like, oh, I'm much mm-hmm. better than that person. You know, you don't want to do that. That's even though if you know for a fact that you are, you don't want to do that. You still don't want to.
You got to stop losing sleep about what other people have and what you don't. You know, the truth of the matter is that you're always gonna have somebody who has a better paying job than you, a nicer house than you, a hotter wife, a hotter spouse, a fancier car. They go on nicer vacations than you. But you know, it's about you. And what makes you happy, and whether those changes are small, whether you're doing a lot of staycations versus exotic vacations, doesn't matter. As long as the end result is that you're happy and that whatever changes that you brought onto your life are positive ones and they are fulfilling. I'm glad you agree with me, Julian. But anyway, on that note, Julian, I think this is an excellent stopping point for today's episode. Guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast and you like what we've been talking about and the content that we're putting out, we have our fingers crossed via video. And please check us out on www.invinciblybroken.com. All of our new episodes and the library of our previous episodes are listed on there. We have a blog site on there. You guys are more than welcome to interact with us on our website. Leave comments on the episodes or on our blogs. Also, please sign up for our newsletter. We'll be updating you guys as new things come up with our episode and our content. You can follow our podcast on social media as well on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by simply searching Invincibly Broken. If you'd like to follow me personally, you can follow me on Instagram at Invincibly_Orlando.
And you can follow me at Invincibly_Julian.
Guys, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Invincibly Broken podcast. Till we talk again, may you guys have some positive change in your lives. Don't be afraid to take the next step forward and be a better person. Till next week, ciao.
Good night, everybody.